not allowed. You take $10, you put them in an envelope, 10 singles. And what you do is, if you ever say something negative about someone else or yourself, you have to hand the person you're talking to a dollar. So you run out of dollars. And I learned from this experiment that $10 is not enough.
Wow.
You're really watching how often you say something negative about yourself or someone else. It's going to be you go through that in a week or if you happen to be socializing a lot or with a particular person who really gets you, perhaps in a day. I think I lost my last $5 all over one person in that girl fight situation. So now for the rest of 30 days, we're just saying you avoid anything negative about you yourself or someone else, and you hand them a dollar. And two things I learned is, one is that, you know, we often are very judgmental of other people, and whether it's about their looks or their fashion or their style, and there's nothing to gain by being judgmental. It's really just to comment on yourself.
That's right.
And the second thing I learned is, when you're saying self-deprecating things that sometimes even are meant to be humorous, like I also have girls in my life are doing it as well, and she was like, "Oh, I'm such a retard."
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you just tripped a little bit, or you couldn't tie your shoelace, or whatever, you know, or whatever it is, doesn't mean that you are a retard.
No.
You know, and I do think that a certain kind of self-deprecation, or most self-deprecation, is actually just kind of programming yourself badly or apologizing again for yourself or your existence.
Yeah, you know, the example I've always used for years, because I remember hearing it when I was very young, and it had an impact on me. It was Cary Grant was asked, you know, what is the secret to his success with women? And he answered, "I tell him I can't get it up."
Mm-hmm.
And it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly along those lines where you're saying the opposite.
Right.
It's pretty
right.
cool.
Or look at Howard Stern. The
right.
fact of saying he has a 1-inch, you know, penis or whatever he says doesn't really keep tons of gorgeous women from being attracted to him.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah.
I think guys in this community sometimes have an obsession with what's a DLV, what's a DHV, and, you know, my DLVing of myself when I say that, and you can actually be DHVing because it shows incredible confidence when you know the opposite is true.
Yes, exactly.
So that's a really you know, fine point. And I think as soon as you show some fear of saying something negative about yourself or fear of being thought a certain way, then you've DLV'd yourself.
Yeah, exactly, because what we do, what we do as men is we're fun and we're having a lot of great conversations with our friends, and we're relaxed, and then a girl gets introduced into the group, and we all of a sudden feel the need to be cool. We have
right.
to act cool now, and so we shut up, and we you know, put our shoulders back, and we look around with squinty eyes, that we're cool. And, you know, there's the problem, is that we put on an act and we stop being our true self because we're afraid that she's not going to be buying into who we are.
Right. And now one thing I want to get to, or two things I want to get to before we open up the call for questions. So, guys, if you have questions, start thinking about them now or writing them down. And we'll do one question per caller and get to as many people. That way we can get to as many people as we can. But one thing that... you know, is also your area of expertise. And I remember originally the reason you kind of went into teaching is offering thoughts on relationships. And one thing I wanted to ask is, and a lot of guys ask me, is if you're dating, if you're seeing multiple women, you know, how is that explained to the women? How do they accept that and so on?
You know, if what a lot of guys do is they start a relationship with a girl and then they try and shift it into a multiple relationship. And which is news to the girl that they're dating. The question I get a lot is, okay, I've got this girlfriend or I'm seeing this girl, but I want to open up the idea that I want to, you know, have an open relationship with her or multiple girlfriends, et cetera. You can't shift it in the middle of it. Everything that you are about has to be described at the very beginning of your interaction with that girl, and then the ball's in her court, she accepts it or not. So multiple relationships, the concept of that and being secretive is always it's going to bite you in the end. Having multiple or open relationships where the girl's okay with you seeing other girls, there's no judgment on any of that. We can be however we want in life. as long as we described it openly. A girl will never feel cheated or upset. She won't feel cheated if you were honest about it from the beginning. But if you try and shift it or try and hide it on her, that's when there'll be trouble.
Right.
You know, and you misrepresented who you are.
And how does one set that up from the beginning?
You state it.
Mm-hmm.
You say, listen, you know, I like you, and I don't know. Right now, I'm at a point in my life where I want to see other girls, and I respect if you don't want to do that, and I'll miss you. But this is, I have to be true to that because I don't want to cheat on you, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to misrepresent who I am. And then it's up to her if she accepts that or not. Then she knows what she's getting into. If you start dating a girl and it's going well, and then you introduce that idea, now you're a bad guy because she was had hopes for your relationship, and she'll feel cheated, and she'll badmouth you to all her girlfriends, to all her friends, and that's in a bad place you want to be. So just be honest and speak it from the very beginning. It's the same concept as guys who are dating a girl and they buy her flowers and they buy her chocolates and they open the door for her. And then 3 to 5 years later into the relationship, he no longer buys her flowers, he no longer buys her chocolates or opens the door for her. He lied about who he is,
right,
about who he really is. He misrepresented, and that's the resentment in a relationship that a woman feels, you don't do this anymore. Because you lied about doing it in the first place. That's not the real you.
Right. So it's interesting. A lot of your things really are about what they call setting the frame, setting expectations.
No question.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And from the first words that come into your mouth, you know, they have to be that.
Right. Exactly.
Right. No, I agree. A relationship can't go backwards. When guys suddenly want their girlfriend to start doing threesomes or they can't go backward.
Can't go backwards.
Right.
Yeah. She'll feel cheated.
Right. And then the second question is what are as far as relationships go then, what are the qualities that you know, here's the question a lot of guys ask me and I can't give them an answer because I don't never had to do it. Is a lot of guys ask, well, you know, when after you sleep with a girl, how do you, you know, get her to come back again or how do you see her again? And my answer always is I just give her, and this sounds crude, but it's not meant to be, I just give her incredible orgasms, and she just sees me. I just feel like if she has an orgasm when we have sex, for some reason she always comes back for more. But do you have a better answer?
Well, I mean, like, the thing I always say, that I've always said, I mean, probably the guys have heard this before from me, is the concept that I always tell a girl that I never kiss and tell.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you tell them that, then they're thinking, oh, boy, I can have sex with this guy anytime I want. No one's ever going to know unless I tell them. That's pretty engaging to a girl. And all of a sudden you have a bunch of repeat customers where they are, you know, I mean, that's one of the things. It's like...
And do you tell that in the form of a story or do you actually just say it?
I say it right out, direct.
Mm-hmm.
I say it to a girl I just met.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very discreet. I never kiss and tell.
Right.
Like, this is like 2 minutes after I met her.
Right.
And winking and smiling as you say it, so you're not like, you know, bearing down on her.
Right.
And, but you tell a girl that, you tell her with enough authority, she'll believe you.
Right.
I tell a girl that I've just met, you know, I'm not like other men, I'm very honest. First thing you need to know about me is I'm very honest. I won't mislead you in any way. If I like you, I'm going to let you know, and if I want to go to bed with you, I'm going to tell you. I tell a girl that. This is the way I talk to them. And because what it sets up is that, number one, you're different than other guys, and number two, I just told a girl that I'm honest to women, okay? And they believe you. She doesn't know anything about you, and yet if you say that with enough conviction, they'll believe you.
Right. Right. And if you convey it in your, you know, subsequent behaviors.
Right, exactly. It's like if you just let her know and then you convey it. Like, exactly right.
Great. And so, let's see, I guess, what time is it? What time is it, Sarah?
It's, let's see, 11:07 for you.
I guess let's open it for. I got one last question. Then we're gonna open up for a couple questions. You know, one thing I noticed just in general in your life, I feel like a turning point for you was going to South Africa. And I felt like when you came back from there, you were a new man on a mission.
You know what it did was South Africa. It's kind of a long story, but South Africa gave me the notion that. What did it do? I had experiences in South Africa that made me realize that the things that I've been talking about for a lot of years seem so shallow and so surface, and there's more to it, and there's a deeper level in that of understanding of who we are instead of going out and learning how to harvest phone numbers, which are usually dead anyway. It's the concept of being the guy who's attractive in his own right, so phone numbers are automatic. Instead of chasing girls, you magnetically attract them. And that's the shift. I mean, I'd always knew that, and I'd always been teaching that, but I'd never understood the real deep levels of it until I went to Africa and yeah, it was just I don't know if I'm answering your question, but it was like my journey in my what I'm trying to study and understand is the whole concept of chemistry. In other words, what makes a woman attracted to a man, whether he's good looking or not, rich or not, doesn't matter. But there's something about him, and she can't stop thinking about him the next day. That's where I want to be, and that's where I want, and that's what I'm trying to describe to guys. So, my work shifted more along those lines because it can be taught, and it's fascinating.
Great, and I think that we're going to open up for questions, and I'm going to just say kind of what makes Zan what Zan sort of excels at and is great at and is really interesting at, among other things, is his whole philosophy. And I feel like, kind of just talking to Zan, spending time with Zan, instills in you a certain sort of philosophy and attitude towards talking to women. And so sort of, keep that in mind as you ask your questions to ask questions that play to Zan's strengths, which I think are, your whole philosophy, attitude, and outlook, which you've only really just scratched the surface of having talked to you for a long time.
Yeah.
So let's open it up, Sarah.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Okay, at this time, if you have a question, go ahead and press the number 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please remember to press the number 1 only once, otherwise you will be taken out of the question queue. All questions will be answered in the order that they are received. Give me 1 second to get the first person's name.
Sure. So while she's waiting, how was last night? Any good stories from last night?
No, it was a good time. I met a lot of people. I'm in Hollywood right now, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a lot of people, and that was a good Hollywood party. And we were trying to get away, and we couldn't find a cab. We were in the Hollywood Hills. We could not get a taxi for at least an hour.
Jesus.
So we stayed longer than we thought we were going to stay, but we were out late, but I'm fine today. It's a nice sunny day today.
What time did you get back?
We got in probably around 3 o'clock
right.
in the morning. So
that's probably because everyone was calling taxis at 2 or something and the club let out.
Yeah, that's probably true. You're right. So, yeah, no, it was good. A lot of interesting people.
Cool. Yeah, you're staying at a great place. And you're actually staying at the place where I did my first workshop with Mystery.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's a great hotel.
And where we're doing actually our conference in a couple months.
In the same hotel? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love, have you been down to the pool bar?
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
We went there last night.
What's that?
We went there last night for a little bit.
Yeah, I love that. And I love also the club on the corner. It has two great clubs in it.
Yeah.
Are you ready for a first question?
Why not?
Okay, it comes from Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Hi, Zan, I just had a quick question.
Sure.
You know how people, a lot of people say, you know, don't hit on the girl until she's attracted to you? How would you describe the way you do it?
Well, I assume attraction. I assume she's attracted. I just move through my life with that assumption because it can't do you wrong. She may not be attracted to you, but if you have the assumption, then all of your interactions will set up that way. And and there is no such thing as hitting on a girl in that scenario. It's along the lines that you are having fun in life, and you are basically just being yourself, and which is a fun guy who likes women and doesn't apologize for it.
Right.
And,
okay.
Answer your question?
Yeah. So basically, you don't worry about it. You're just having fun with her and not really hitting on her. You're just letting things progress naturally, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I think maybe, and Zan, you can clarify if I'm wrong here, but you're doing it less to get a reaction from her and more because it's fun for you and who you are.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
When one hits on a,
I think maybe the distinction is when one hits on a girl, you hit on a girl with the expectation of a certain outcome, a phone number, or going home with her, and when you go out and you're sort of going Zan on her, you're actually just a guy who's probably going to do that with her, with the next girl, with every girl, because that's who you are.
I exactly right. Like I'll tell a girl, you know, you're kind of cute, but wait, your friend's kind of cute too. What's her name? I do that all the time.
Awesome, man. Good question, Eric. Thanks.
Hey, guys, thanks for everything you're doing, and I think you guys are awesome.
Thanks, Eric.
That was a great question.
Okay, the next question we have comes from Larry. Go ahead, Larry.
Zan the man.
Hi, Larry.
How's it going?
Excellent.
200.
Sorry,
Zan?
Say again.
200.
Oh, who coined the name Zan?
Oh.
No, was that the question?
No, I'm speaking another language. He spent some time in South Africa, so that was a bit of a crunch.
I did indeed, but I never picked up any of the language.
Okay, man. But I'm just curious, what changed in South Africa? Style mentioned South Africa. What changed there? What did you notice in South Africa that changed?
You know,
your outlook.
One thing that happened to me there was I was at a party. And and there was all the beau monde of South Africa was there, all the who's who and all the, you know, the model girls and cool guys, and everybody's all, you know, dressed in the nines and stuff. And there was there was a guy at the party who was, he was actually a shaman from Peru. And he was an unassuming guy who just kind of, you know, was in the corner of the party talking quietly to people, etc. But it sorted itself really quickly in the room who was the real alpha male there. Like all the guys there who were used to being superstars recognized that this guy had a presence about him that he wasn't, you know, boisterous and loud, and he wasn't wandering all over the place, but he had a gravity about him that was deeper than all the surface stuff that we try and do. And so that's what I've been, since Africa, I've been trying to capture that essence of what makes a man compelling when he's just, when he enters a room. Why does every head turn? Why do the girls go, what's with that guy? Who's that guy? As opposed to all the things that we're trying to set out to do. It's the difference between power and force. If we're trying to get a girl's phone number or trying to tell a funny story, we're trying to force the situation to be the way we want it to be, as opposed to having true power, which stands alone. I was very philosophical. I mean, Neil said it.
I noticed. I noticed you're very philosophical. I came across a video where you mentioned that the reason the game started well in the States was because of missing men in guys' lives. They didn't have those father figures. Now, if you look at South Africa, if you take South Africa as an example, I'm sure you guys never met anyone from the game from South Africa.
Right.
And because people never had the need for that.
That's
until
right.
Maybe recently. Now, I've been trying to figure out what's the reasons behind it. And if you look at South Africa, the culture of family is very strong. You don't have the missing parents and stuff in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it's related to that?
Absolutely. Like, you know, you think about Italian men in Italia. They have no problem being touching women, for instance. It's natural. It's the way it is. So they don't have that same cultural shock that we have of approaching women in that way. There's a lot of cultural differences. Having said that, in this day and age, you're right. North America's got more of a disconnect than, for instance, South Africa. South Africa, the men there are a lot more confident because they're born of the earth in some way. And it sounds kind of weird to say that, but I don't know how else to say it. There's a lot of strife in that area, and so the guys grow up a little bit more grounded to the ground. And as opposed to here, where we grow up playing video games and sit in our room until we're 20 years old, and then go out and try and interact. Our culture does not lend itself, as other cultures do, to being naturally masculine. Having said that, every city on earth that I've gone to, the women are still saying, you know, we want men of integrity and who don't apologize for being men.
Exactly, and to, you know, put a point on it. Judging from my emails, I still get tons of emails from guys in South Africa and tons of emails from guys in Italy. So everywhere there, maybe there's a certain culture of this, but everywhere there are guys who
need help.
Who need help or feel like even if they're already doing well, feel like they could be doing better. Because ultimately, when it comes to sexual choice, anyway, in most cultures, the woman has the choice. So guys are always finding a way to want to be better chosen.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. But okay, just one more question. Just a quick one. So the game started because of the missing father figures in people's lives who taught guys how to be men. So that was missing. But if you look at people who are in the community now, the ideology is for multiple relationships, not being tied down, not having the family, right? So if you go in that direction, you're compounding the problem, aren't you?
Well, I understand the question. The thing is, what we were missing is we didn't have mentors growing up. We never had the rite of passage, for instance, of going from boys to men, as they have had in cultures for centuries. We never had that, and so we don't know how to relate to women on a certain level because we never became we never stood into our masculinity. So I understand your question. The game started, as you put it, to try and fill that void, to try and create mentors where we never had them, to try and create heroes again where we've lost that notion. And it's a deep subject, but it really is the underpinnings of this whole thing. And you're saying that there's guys out in the community that are teaching, okay, be this flightless bird who doesn't connect to anything. You know, it's a reaction to a lot of the rejection that we feel as men we've had in our lives, and And so this is a reaction to that, to try and gain some control again of how we are interacting with the women. It's hard to answer that question, but I know what the question is.
Okay. I could go on all night.
Thanks, man. I'm just gonna move forward because I want to make sure that everybody gets to their questions. But thanks, man.
Okay.
Okay. Next we have.
And also, well, before you do this, I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not gonna cut anyone off, but everyone should just ask one question because every other question you ask is one of your fellow students who can't ask a question.
Yeah.
So just make sure you lead with your best question.
Yes. Next we have Cameron. Go ahead, Cameron.
Hey, Dan. What's up?
Hey, man.
I actually got a question in regards to obstacles. So usually when you enter a set and it's a three set, you want to kind of neg the target. And the problem is, how about if the target isn't doing anything to get negged on, really? It's the obstacles that are more doing something that, you know, you should neg them on. But you don't want to neg the obstacles because you want to befriend them and be friends with them. But, you know, it's kind of like they're the only ones that are giving you ammo to neg them on. Do you understand what I'm saying, Dan?
Sort of. I'm trying to understand the question because are you saying that is your question that we should be befriending the other people? Is that what you're saying?
That's from my reading, that's what I've gotten so far. It's you want to befriend everyone, really, but you know, you want to kind of be a brat to the target. Right.
Well, there's a principle involved that the generally what a guy will do is we'll talk to the girl that we're interested in. We won't talk to anybody we're not interested in. I have always felt that, you know, if you buy a girl a drink, but you won't buy the 60-year-old man at the end of the bar a drink, then you fail. You have to be. The point is to be the same. This is my world. Like, I don't know what other people would endorse or what they would suggest, but the way I do it and the way I understand that works for me is that I treat everybody the same, and because remember, it's not an agenda. It's not trying to get that girl. You're just having fun in life with all the people that are in that group. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. The only thing is that from the mystery method and from what I've read through Style Life,
is that
when you enter a set in order for your target for her to drop her guard, you can't just try to build rapport with her. So instead, you want to demonstrate higher value to her friends, and then of course she's going to be listening to that. And then when you get an opportunity, you kind of want to give her negative compliments. That way, you can show her that, basically you're false qualifying, right? You're like, you're showing her I'm not interested in you. So that's the approach I had. Do you agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, honestly, I'm trying to just sort out some of the terminology because
the general thought is that, and again, Dan can refine this, but I think maybe the general thought is that there are certain steps that in interaction sort of usually have and must have, but there are different ways to move through those steps. So for in other words, coming in conveying disinterest can be coming in by with something non-sexual. Mm-hmm. Saying disinterest also is just being sexual with everybody, buying a drink for everybody.
There's a good point because conveying disinterest the way I do it is by being interested in everybody. So in other words, that goes back to my comment where I'm talking to a girl and, you're kind of cute, but wait a minute, your friend is cute, what's her name? And it's along the lines of conveying that interest or you're talking to a girl and you're having fun, you're smiling, winking, and another beautiful girl walks by and you kind of check her out and then go back to the girl you're talking to and get caught doing that. So say, did you just check out that girl? Yeah, did you see her? It's the way I convey disinterest is not by being apathetic or, I'm looking off in the distance, but more along the lines that I'm interested in everybody.
Right, and I started for guys who may be having, let's just say, cognitive dissonance with what they do and with what Zan's saying. My advice is, even rather than thinking it out, go do it and try it. See what happens. You know, see what you learn. And if you learn anything, you know, positive or negative, you know, that's only going to help. Going to help what you're doing, because there are many different ways to do things. There are many ways to different approaches. Even though when you break them down, they go back to the same fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's important not to subscribe to one specific, you know, school or way or philosophy of doing things, but to take in, you know, what Zan's saying, which is very different than maybe what Intent says, which is different than what Mystery says, and you just go out and do everything.
Exactly.
And you see sort of what works for you, and you might find that maybe some of you, by putting on this sort of Zorro-like dangerous liaisons, like who are other guys that you sort of see as people in the tradition of what you do.
Yeah, because underlying everything that we're doing, the underlying concepts are sound. And if we go out and try and be exactly like Mystery, it may not fit our persona, and it may come across as being ill-fitting. Or we try and go out there and be like Zan, and it's not the way we really are. We have to, but the underlying thing that a Mystery or Neil or I am saying is the same. It's just the external method is what's congruent to the way we are.
Yeah, exactly. And right. And so back to the. Did we answer your question, by the way?
Yeah, you guys took it to another level, which, you know, helped out a lot too. So.
Okay.
If it's okay, I have one last question, and
you're free to ask that. You're free to ask that question, but consider it for a second.
Okay. For demonstrating higher value story,
and you really don't mind that you're I'm just curious because, you know, despite what I said earlier, I mean, someone else is not going to get asked a question, but you're cool with that.
Say again, Tom?
I said it means someone else is not going to ask a question. You're cool with that?
Well, someone else ask a question?
No, someone else is not going to be able to ask a question at the end of the call.
Oh, no.
You're cool with that? And I know, you know what? Here's what you should do. Are you in the flash chat at all?
Still
there? I don't want to be rude, but I want to make sure that we get to all our, callers.
That's fine.
I really don't mean to cut you off. I feel horrible about that. So if you may ask your question, you feel it's really important and maybe going to benefit the person who doesn't get asked a question. So I strongly discourage it.
No, it's no problem.
All right, man. I'm sorry. Thanks. I'm glad you got on the call. Don't mean to cut you off, but let's move forward. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. So I have a question is, how do you know when to break up with a girl? And I guess sort of more importantly, how do you break up with a girl?
Hmm.
Like, what do you do? What do you say? You know, the community sort of ethos is leave them better than you found them. And how do you kind of minimize the damage, but you want to be honest, you want to be fair? And just to give a quick background, I've been dating this girl for a year. I actually met her last summer through the original Style Life Challenge. So, Neil, thank you very much.
That's awesome, man. That's great.
Yeah. But I think at this point it's sort of hindering my progress. It was defined as kind of an old-school committed relationship. And as you guys say, there's sort of no going back. So yeah, how do you do it? I've never seen anything.
Great. That's one of the best questions I've ever heard.
Thanks.
You know, all you can do, I mean, you set it up in a certain way because of things you may have wanted a year ago. You know, the best thing that you can do is to sit down with this girl and openly just tell her, this is exactly what's going on with me today. And I'm not feeling the same way, or I feel like I want something more, I want something different. To minimize that, the destruction, I guess, or the hurt, the only way you can minimize it is to be completely blaringly honest about your motives, what you're doing, why, etc. And compare it to the way you were a year ago when you started to see the girl. It's a difficult thing, and there's no easy way out of it. I always say the notion that relationships never end. And because for me, they never do. It's like the girls that I've had in my life are fantastic friends of me today and my biggest defenders. And it's because you set it up from the beginning with a tone of honesty and say, you know, this is what I want in life. Things change, but you just have to communicate it to her. Communication is the thing you need to do. And it's going to be difficult. If this girl, you know, loves you, it's going to be a difficult thing for her, but you have to be honest about it. And you have to do what you have to do. You have to ask what's needed for me, because we'll drift on and on trying to protect people, but the best thing we can do is to state it in a non-cowardly way, like breaking up over email or something. But just to do it, sit down with her and just state exactly what you just said on the phone here. Say the same thing you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. And I am probably the worst breakup artist out there. I'm horrible at it because it's hard. I mean, if a girl really loves you, I assume this girl really loves you.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's hard to take it when somebody really, really truly loves you and be like, please go away and stop loving me. You know, it's hard to, love so rare in life.
Yeah.
You know, mostly from our family. It's a tough thing to do, and the best thing you can do. And again, it really is. One of the few times where I give advice and I'm really bad at following. It's probably the first time I've done it on one of these calls. The best thing you can do is sit down. First of all, decide what you want. And if you really are sure you want to break up with her, then you have to sit her down and just say, you know, tell her you want to break up. Tell the reasons she want to break up. Know it's going to hurt. You know it's going to suck. You know?
Right.
And just answer all her questions so she has no questions and isn't wondering about anything.
Exactly.
Then be firm and stick to it and don't get weak that one time when you got rejected by a girl and suddenly start missing her and calling her. Don't confuse her. Don't give her fake messages.
Right.
You got to just go ahead and do it. Stay strong to it. No, it will hurt, and the best you can do is give her all her answers and let her know why in a very honest way.
And she'll respect that.
She'll eventually come to respect that.
Yeah, she may not be happy, but she will respect the fact that you didn't dump her in that phrase.
It's really up to you to, be honest and stick with it and not, you know, confuse her or give her mixed messages. I always think when I'm a breakup, I always think, you know, if that Sting song, if you love someone, set them free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having said that, I can't remember the last time I broke up with a girl. I'm such a gypsy that, you know, then I'm such an adventurer and so such a dreamer that the girls that I've been with in my life eventually want a different path, a different goal. And so it's not like we break up in a bad way at all. It's like we're on the same freeway in parallel lanes for a period of time, and then one of those lanes takes an exit. And it's sad, and you miss each other, but it's a logical thing, and it happens. So I've never dumped a girl, I don't think.
And again, it comes back to Zan's framing, but excellent question, and good luck with the girl.
Yeah.
Let us know how it goes in the forums, all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Johan. Go ahead, Johan.
Hey, Johan.
Hi. Wow. All right, I'm feeling approach anxiety just from talking to you guys on the phone. I didn't think that would happen. All right, I'm sorry if I stutter or anything.
You owe me dollars.
All right. My question is basically, I think I understand what you're saying about being honest and helping you move and not get stuck in the friend zone and not telegraph the wrong interest for too long. But everything that I've read, and it's completely non-intuitive for me, but I think it works. I think it works very well, is disqualifying yourself when you first meet a stranger. Be like, hey, I'm not trying to hit on you. You don't have to feel threatened by me. But at some point, you definitely have to switch and say, hey, okay, I am interested in you. So I hope that's not too basic of a question, but, you know, what's your take on that?
Well, the one thing I don't do is say to a girl, You know, I'm not trying to hit on you. I don't say that. There is no shift because it's there from the beginning. It's like you're not shifting from it, this is me, okay? Like, this is the way I am in the way that I try and describe it is that I don't shift. There's no such thing as shifting from, okay, well, I'm just now talking to you, but now I want to shift into a mode of, well, okay, now I like you. It's more along the lines of you've injected that into the conversation from the very beginning, where I'll say to a girl I just met, you know, I'm curious. There's something about you, and I don't know what it is. And along those lines, or a girl say, why do you want to talk to me? I'll say, I don't know. I have no idea. Something intriguing about you, and I don't know what it is. It's you setting it up from the beginning so that there's no, you're not shifting over to a mode of telegraphing interest for me. And I'm known been known for years in the community as a guy who tells girls, hey, you know, I like you. You're kind of cute. As opposed to, you know, the main doctrine that's out there to be disinterested, I guess. I don't know if I'm answering the question. I don't know if I'm making any sense at all. But, Neil, do you understand what I'm saying?
I think there's some more important stuff. Does it help you, the caller?
Yeah, okay. Well, I was just hoping you could help me out.
Is the caller still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Here, repeat the question a little bit so I can...
My question is, if you do make some statement of disinterest whenever you first approach somebody and you first talk to them, how do you shift back? How do you get out of that without being threatening? You know, how do you move over to, hey, I am interested in you?
I think what Dan is saying is right, and I think it's also that I'm guessing that, and again, in your approaches, have you gotten to this point yet?
Yes.
And you found that they still think you're disinterested later?
I'm probably not. I'm probably not just giving them the right signals because I just don't want to be threatening.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, good. Zan's a great guy for you to model then, which is, you know, to me, these signals are actually not 80% of the time. Sometimes they're actually going hardcore. Like to me, if a woman's really, really attractive, hit on a lot, then I'm really going hardcore. So she thinks that I don't like her. And then I reel her back in where I push her to the point of actually almost really not liking me, and then I reel her back in. But more to the point, most of these disqualifiers and the ones you should be doing are ones that a substitute is flirting anyway. All the things Dan said, like, you know, yeah, I've never been with a girl before, you know, all those kind of comical things that are the opposite, they're forms of flirting anyway. So if you're doing them right and they're doing their job, although they're showing disinterest, they're also creating attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do to turn it around is a very simple thing, and this is for mystery, is that when you feel that she's attracted, all you have to say is, you know what, when I first met you, you made XYZ impression. And now that I get to know you better, I see that you're XYZ. You know, when I first met you, I thought you were just like a regular, you know, party, you know, club girl. Now that we talk, I see you're actually pretty deep and pretty cool.
Right, right.
So it's that's called, to throw out more jargon, it's called an SOI, a statement of intent. So at some point, you have to start giving her IOIs.
Right.
Makes sense? So when the time comes and you feel like you're not there, you can just turn it around with one sentence. When I first met you, I thought X. Now that I see you and I talk to you more, I see that you're actually Y, and that's awesome.
That's right.
Don't get any ideas now, though. You know,
okay.
throwing a little thing at the end that pushes in the other direction. And even what Zan does on some level and what everyone does and what really works and what creates attraction is that push-pull, that mixed messages. Even though Zan's coming on to them, they're still having doubts. Is he like this with everyone? Is he serious? The
exactly.
way Zan can get away with so much of what he does and go balls out is they don't know if he's serious or if he's joking. So he can get away with much what a lot of guys wouldn't get away because he's got a sense of humor, he's charming, he's funny. They like don't know if he's for real or not, and it's a
That's
great
right.
place for her to be.
Good answer.
All right, thanks a million, and I could probably spend the rest of the call, and it wouldn't be enough thanks. So
thank you, man. Good question.
Okay, next we have a question from Dwizite. Go ahead, Dwizite.
Hey, Dwizite, what's happening, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Man, Zan, I ran into some of your philosophies about a year and a half ago when I bought Joseph Matthews, The Art of Approaching?
Yes, okay.
And I was just like, guy is really, he's, you know, I like that philosophical point of view instead of micromanaging.
Right.
So, well, my question is, I have a girlfriend, and she's probably like one of the most amazing women I've ever met in my life, and I'm looking for more women to add into my life that are like her. So, can you give me any big picture ideas of how I can...
Does she have any sisters? Just joking. Go ahead.
So you mean you want to have... She's a girlfriend of yours? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like we're, you know, I'm in love with her. So,
okay, you know, and you want to have another... you want to have multiple girls like her?
I want to have them as friends, but yeah.
I see. How do you... You know, a lot of guys... the way you attract the kind of people that you project, the way you project yourself is the kind of people you're going to attract. So,
right.
You know, a lot of guys like a girl who plays hard to get, for instance. And me, I'm completely different. I like a girl who's fascinated by me and is excited when I'm around. I like that. And And the other concept is a lot of guys ask me a question constantly. Okay, well, this girl has got a bitch shield, and how do you get past that? The truth is, I don't. I have no interest in educating a girl who's being, you know, mean to guys or mean to other people. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of women who are amazing people like your girlfriend. And so I surround myself with people like that. The women I've had in my life would never, ever, If a guy went up to her in the bar, and they're absolutely beautiful women that I've been with, if a guy went up to her in the bar and started to talk to her, she wouldn't put up a shield or be unkind in any way at all. And that's the kind of people I surround myself with. So your awareness of it, of meeting a girl like this, will make you automatically gravitate towards that type of woman as friends in your life.
Right. Yeah, and I've actually, the two really good female friends that I have right now, besides my girlfriend, are like that. I just want to meet more of them.
Yeah, they're out there. Believe me, they're out there. And once you start hanging around with women like that who are just wonderful beings, you get less and less tolerance for people who are not. And so you, they're out there. You'll find that. It's what you give off. The energy you give off is what you're going to bring back.
So you pretty much don't have any tolerance for women who do put up those shields.
I don't at all. And it's because of the women I've been in my life have been amazing people. I don't have time for educating a girl about, you know, manners.
Right.
There's too much beauty in this world, in the beautiful women in this world that are kind and nice and good people and good hearts that I don't spend a lot of time in the presence of that.
Awesome. That's, yeah, cool, man. That really answered my question.
Thank you.
Yeah, great, great, great answer. Yeah, great answer. Thanks, man.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Okay, the next question we have comes from Julian. Go ahead, Julian.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Hi, Julian.
Hey, when reading the game and the mystery method and reading the routines and stuff online, I noticed that a lot of the approaches and stuff are geared to more girls that are hanging around the bar and stuff like that. How would I go about approaching an attractive woman that I notice on the dance floor? Should I wait for her to get off the dance floor when she's with her friends, or what should I do?
Interesting question. Can you dance?
Yeah, I think so.
See, guys that can dance have an advantage in that arena over guys who cannot, because if you can't dance, you can't just stroll out and start, you know, standing there beside her.
Right.
You could. If you can dance and you can be a guy who's enjoying his evening, having fun and exciting, you should have no trouble. I mean, you can go on the dance floor or wait till she comes off.
Makes sense.
Right. I knew a guy who was not the best looking guy, but he could dance, and he loved to go out there and dance, and he was funny. He danced. He was a funny guy, so he was hard to describe, but he was fun to watch, and everybody watched him, and all the girls loved him, and all the girls wanted to dance with him.
Cool. That answers my question perfectly.
Oh, okay, good.
Thank you.
Awesome, man.
Okay. Our next question comes from Angela. Go ahead, Angela.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Angela.
Hey. My question is a little more deep about, like, masculinity and passion. I've been, like, doing a lot of stuff with community, a lot of superficial stuff, and I've been getting success, you know. I had my first, like, no-speaking makeout with a girl, which was incredible, but at the same time that I'm, like, really inspiring others and having fun superficially, deep down I don't feel that fiery, masculine passion, that fire in the belly. And I just don't know what to do to get it back.
Yeah.
Wait, you feel it and you don't know what to do to get it back, or you don't feel it?
Like, I just don't feel, like, engaged. I don't feel, like, real vibrant as I used to be, like, when I was younger. So I go out, I do all the things, I talk to people, they have fun with me, but it just kind of goes flat after a while.
You know, it is a deep question, and it's a multifaceted question and multifaceted answer, but I tell you this. If you are not feeling passionate about something in your life, then you need to shift your life today. In other words, you need to stop doing the things in your life that are not making you desire to wonder about life and be excited to get up in the morning. Cancel everything from your life that doesn't look like that. And you had that passion when you were younger, so you had something that you were absolutely wanted in your life, a dream, your dreams or something, and my intuition is that you have shifted away from that. And
right.
and to be the truth about attraction and the truth of being attractive to a woman is being a man who knows what he wants and where he's going, and he's excited about what he's doing. That is massively attractive to women and can't fail. And so you need to revisit what it was you were passionate about when you were young and stop doing whatever isn't that. In other words, if you have a career that you're doing that isn't giving you that fulfillment, making you feel alive, then stop it. Quit it tomorrow. And I'm not kidding about that. That's why we have no success in our life with women, is because we settle and we drift into our careers and our lives, and we're not compelling because we don't believe we're not compelling to ourselves. Cancel it all. Make
wow.
a change and just cancel it and step forward and say, no, this is who I am. This is what I want. Women will be automatic when you do that. No question.
Wow. That's powerful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Man, great questions. I really love that as these teleconferences go on, the questions just get better and better and more advanced, down to things that I've, you know, never heard before but are important issues.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from Blazer. Go ahead, Blazer.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
Hey, Blazer.
So my question is, Zan, I came across one of your posts on ASF, and it was about this technique where, like, if a girl with whom your relationship was hot at some point started to get cold or started flagging, you had some technique where you were like, you know, basically, you know, I think about you night and day, but now I have to go.
Yeah.
And I had trouble understanding if you're the kind of person that dates multiple women, how can you say something like, you know, you're so into her and still set up the frame that you're dating multiple women? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, kind of. See, along the lines of... The thing is, you can be fascinated by a girl and portray that fascination for her, the girl that you're dating, or the girl that your girlfriend.
Right.
Without being in, and it is not a contradiction to say that you can be absolutely into her, and yet, boy, how do I answer that? And yet have other women in your life.
Okay.
It isn't a contradiction because you're setting it up from that way from the beginning. Now, having said that, I'm a guy who's generally all of my life, I'm the kind of guy that has one girlfriend. And there has been times in my life where I've had multiple girlfriends, but that's not the way I like it. I like to have a girl that I'm fascinated by,
yeah.
who's fascinated by me, who I can't wait to see again. And I like that concept. When I talked about that post, what I was talking about is you're on a date with a girl or you've had a series of dates with a girl and she's starting to drift. You feel that she's the one in control. She's the one that's, you know, calling you back 3 days later and, oh, I was really busy and canceling. I'm tired tonight and maybe we can do it next week. That sort of feeling where you feel you're losing this girl, where
right.
initially it was very good and she was really into you. And it's true.
So you're saying already in the beginning you set up the frame that you date multiple women. It's just with this particular girl, it's flagging. Is that what you're saying? Like you already set it up beforehand?
Well, you have to set it up beforehand because, as Neil said, you can't go back. You cannot shift your relationship. You can't be dating a girl and she's all excited to see you and thinking about some possibility of future with you, and you shift it and say, you know, oh, by the way, 4 weeks later into the relationship, oh, by the way, I want to see other girls. You can't.
I guess I had trouble understanding because you were saying things along the lines of, you know, like I'm helpless before other women, and because, you know, of this fascination I have on you. But then it's like, well, once you get her back into your life, if you're so fascinated by her, I don't understand why you have these other women.
Why
are
you know? Well, and generally, that's the thing.
Well, maybe I'll just hop in. First of all, are you asking the question for advice with yourself or just because you're noticing sort of what may be a contradiction of what Zan's saying and trying to intake it?
I'm sorry.
Are you asking
this
question
static.
Because is it something that's going to help you or just sort of a contradiction you're noticing and pointing out that feels to be a contradiction to you?
It's just that it feels like a contradiction, and I know it's not if I can just kind of
cool.
wrap my
All
mind
right.
around it.
Cool. Okay, I got two thoughts for you then. The first
okay.
is, of course, you know, Zan's whole frame is that he loves women. That is Zan's thing, is that he loves women, he's passionate about women, women are the best. So he's calling up and someone and saying, you know, I adore you, you're the world to me, you're the, you know, I want to move the mountains and swim the rivers and drink the
right.
dishes or whatever. She, you know, for all she knows, he could be saying that to everyone. But it makes her feel good, it makes her enjoy him and reminds her what, you know, she likes being around him, which is that she feels good about herself. The great thing about Zan is that when I'm around Zan, like, I feel great. Zan's such a positive person, and Zan makes people feel good about themselves. You'll notice that way Zan is on this call, that he's never, like, trying to get the last word in. He's never, you know, stepping on anyone's toes. He's never trying to prove that he's right. He's really great at making people feel great about themselves. And just because he's like that with her doesn't mean that she doesn't think that he's like that with everybody else.
Okay.
That's my thought on that. Does that answer that?
Yeah, I think it does.
Second thing is, just something to think about, though. You know, you have an opportunity to go on and ask two guys, you know, who know a little bit about women, a sort of question. And I would take a look when you get off the call about the question you asked and why you asked that, because was that the piece of information that you most needed to know right now to get to the next level in what you're doing? Or was that the most important thing that you could have asked from Zan with his area of expertise to really get you past it? And I might want to question yourself, if I had looked for contradictions in the things people were teaching, and then I was focused on that contradiction and needed to work that contradiction through my head in order to do it, I might not have gotten anywhere. So take a look at your own learning strategy as well, though I think that was a good question. I understand why you thought it, and it means that you're a smart guy. Might want to like take a look at your learning intake and strategies and process.
Okay.
Cool, man. Thanks for the question.
All right. Thanks, guys.
The next question we have comes from Emerald. Go ahead, Emerald.
Hey, guys. Styles,
hey,
and this is exciting because you guys are like two of my favorite guys in the community. I've kind of faded out of the community in general, but I'm still reviewing your material, so I want to thank you guys a lot.
Thanks, man. That's a high compliment. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
I found the community kind of, I think, probably differently from other guys. I already have a great woman in my life, and I've actually been married for over 10 years.
Fascinating.
But, I wanted to understand attraction to make sure that I was maximizing my wife's attraction for me. I thought that was, like, fairest to her. And also, at the same time, know what it was that made women attracted so that if I wanted to not make a woman attracted to me, I would be able to achieve that. So, I thought it was fair to my wife, you know, because I've always had a bit of a... I'm like Van in many ways. I have a love and a passion for women, but I don't have that much self-control. So I wanted to figure out how to kind of, distance the woman from me a little bit, right? So I've learned a lot from the community. Now, I've managed to, you know, heighten my attractiveness to my wife and in general, but there was something that I was wondering about. Zan, what's the secret to bringing out the beauty and radiance in my woman if it's kind of gotten, you know, at least somewhat snuffed out by daily routine, responsibilities, children, et cetera? I know you're a really passionate guy, you know, and I want to be able to bring out that radiance and beauty that I just want it, you know, constant in my wife.
Great question. I got to say, great question, man. I love my students, man. These questions are so good that I'm just like blowing up. That is an awesome question, but go ahead.
But see, I want to take that on myself because I think it's me that's not doing that. So, you know, how do I achieve that?
You know, it's fantastic that you feel that way and that you want to maximize that. I mean, that's all my learning too, is maximizing attraction and understanding it. What makes a man attractive to a woman? And kind of what you're asking, I think, is how do you keep that spark alive, and how do you keep seeing the beauty in a woman that you've been with for many years, that and where routine is set in because of daily life?
And it's not just secret, but how do I actually bring it out of her? How do I inspire it in her, you know, that that radiance and that joy and that beauty?
I always have the notion that beauty is invoked. In other words, just your question itself makes me recognize that you're a guy who, just by sitting in that question, automatically brings it out of the woman you're nearby. And because you're interested in that and you want to, you have the desire to bring that out, it comes out. Is there anything specific you can do? Well, you can communicate like crazy. You can get rid of the television, and you can spend time. I mean, this gets into Dr. Phil land, but it's really celebrating her and recognizing that she's not the perfect woman, because there's no such thing as a perfect woman in this world. She has faults and things that you wish were different, but celebrating and maximizing to her the beauty that you see in her and communicating that to her all the time. She'll feel more radiant, more beautiful, and she will want to please you more.
And I would add one other thing, which is I noticed the word you said, that she feels like she's in the routine. What I would also do is sometimes break the routine. If she's dulled by the routine, then break the routine. Either A, take her away somewhere awesome and magical so that she can just be caught up in a new environment and bring out all those great things and come back glowing. Or B, whatever the routine is, say, well, guess what? I'm bringing someone today to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Or X, Y, and Z is canceled and we're doing this. And just take her out of the routine and somewhere else, like a road trip to beautiful bed and breakfast, a trip to a, you know, Caribbean island or to an exciting cultural city, whatever she likes, and make sure you take her somewhere where she wants to go, not where you want to go.
And we forget what a gift it is to have a woman of quality in our life, and it's a great thing. And, you know, most guys will get a girlfriend or a wife, and then they say, okay, I got that handled, that settled, now I'm going to go concentrate on my career, and they start looking over here and sorting out the other things. We fail when we do that because we take our eyes off of the thing that we saw in her in the first place. And you have to concentrate on your career and do this other kind of stuff, but you have to keep your eye on this girl and make her feel excited and on an adventure and rejuvenated all the time. You're responsible for your impact to people, and if she's feeling not beautiful and quiet and routine bound, then you're creating that. So
right, and she might be scared to break that routine.
Right,
you just have to figure out the lesson that it's okay and not listen to her initial protestations if you brought someone in to take it over for a day or think it can go without her tending to it for a day or want to go on a trip.
That's right.
You know, you have to make that transition easy for her. But both these things I'd strongly recommend.
Okay.
Hey, man, I think that's really, really cool that you feel that way and you've been in a relationship for 10 years, and I'd love to talk to you two about it further. So maybe on the next conference call or the next time we do an open line, it'd be cool to share some of your experience, you know, depending on the other guys as well.
For sure, absolutely.
Emerald was your name?
What's that?
Emerald was your name?
Emerald, that's right.
Cool. All right, man. So either at the end of the next conference call or next time we do the 30-day experiment, hop on that call, and I'll try and put something in the email, and maybe we can talk about something that'll show the other guys, that'll help the other guys learn from your experience as well.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Thanks a lot.
Right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Okay, the next question we have comes from Om. Go ahead, Om.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Om.
Hey, Om. I have a question, before that, I actually had a couple of questions, but I know there's a time constraint, and I want other people to ask questions too. So I have done it like a two-part question. I like loud environments or places which have like loud music and everything because that pumps me up for a night game. I also have a thick accent, and that makes it really difficult for the girl to understand me. So I have to like use a lot of facial expressions and more of my body language to speak rather than my words because it's loud and I enjoy it. But there's something that happened yesterday which kind of blew me off, and I didn't have a comeback for it. So though it's not a very generic question, I think it's a specific question. I don't know if that is okay for me to ask.
What's the question again?
The question was like I opened this set. There was a set of like 12 girls yesterday sitting at the table using one of my favorite openers, which was like a Secret Shopper opener, which I'll explain sometime later. But I went and opened her, and we started talking. I sat next to her, and while I was talking, it was so loud, so I had to like come very close while talking to her, and by accidentally, I think, I spit on her face. And she like really called me for that, and I didn't have a comeback for that, and I blew myself out from the set.
Okay, cool. So. Just to deal with things really quickly, then I'll let Zan share his thoughts on it. But really, because I think it's more important to talk on your accent than spitting on the face. But anyway, if you ever do a social impropriety, just point it out before she does. Could be like, oh my God, I just actually spat on her face. I'm gonna take 3 steps back.
Right.
You know. So one day, if you point it out, then she can't say anything. You diffused it.
Yeah, but the thing was, I didn't realize that I spit on her face.
That's okay. Whatever. That happened. Maybe you didn't. Maybe she was just nagging you. Who the hell knows?
Right.
But that, you know what I mean? That's not going to happen that often, so let's deal with the real question, which is the accent. That'll come up more often.
Yeah. The thing with the accent is I've been trying to take accent reduction classes, but it's not helping me.
Okay.
Actually, I'm a very fast talker, and I've been trying, practicing it for like 6 months, and I think I've slowed down a bit. I've seen improvement in myself, but I still think I'm a very fast talker and have a thick accent. So
I got a fun thing to do, and then Don Sam, his take on this, and then I think we have time for one more caller, Sarah. Yes. Okay. Great. Sort of think about Zorro or Super Romantic. I'm saying Zorro because Zan dressed as Zorro for Halloween once. I still remember the photos.
Yeah.
Gorgeous girlfriend. Then. So imagine this, you're a Spanish lover. And then your name is your Zorro, whoever you want to be, and you're a Spanish lover. And how would he speak? Who's on this call? And maybe he's the guy giving advice on this call. I got Zan, and El Zorro. Can you speak like he would speak? Just say something, some advice for guys in a romantic Spanish accent.
Me?
No.
Oh.
The caller. What's your name again?
Om.
Om.
Right.
Oh, I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
Can you speak? Give some advice to the callers on this call in the persona of a dashing romantic Spanish man.
Right. Talk like thick, talk very broad, with a broad voice, and
that wasn't even that Spanish, but yes, you are romantic Spanish. You are romantic. You are a leading man who must give the advice for the men. I don't know if that's a Mexican Spanish Italian lover, but yes. Speaking of, just let me hear something in a romantic Spanish accent, or whatever accent you want to do. But imagine you're some dashing foreign.
Foreign accent?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Try it for fun.
something. Do you want to give me a line so that I can use that? Maybe.
Just, you know what? Throw it out. Just wing it. Just say I give women great pleasure or whatever.
I love to give you great pleasure.
Wow. Now here's what you've just shown yourself. That was funny, by the way. Say that one more time. That was great.
I love to give you great pleasure.
Right. And you know what's funny? Not only did you talk clearly, but you spoke slowly.
That's right. Slowly.
And you've just kind of shown yourself that it's possible for you to do that.
Yep.
And I know this because I'm a fast talker.
Mm-hmm.
I used to swallow. I'm still a fast talker, but believe it or not, this is half the pace I used to talk at. and I would do that. I would get myself in a character. His name was Manhor. I was from a little island off the coast of wherever you would like me to be from. And I would go around, and I would actually go out, and I would, for fun, I would actually talk to women in that accent. And my whole goal was actually, I wanted to, like, seduce a woman as Manhor, just to see if I could get, like, us guys to go out and start doing Manhor. If it actually worked out, that would be hilarious. But I would go do that almost for fun, just to prove to myself that I could do it. But the real lesson was to show myself that it's not from birth, it's not from, you know, physiology, it's actually all mental.
Right.
And you just have to slow down your switching speed and
mm-hmm.
realize, and again, I'm giving you advice that I need to be taking more myself, is
mm-hmm.
realize that if you talk slower, you won't lose anyone's attention. You'll actually gain their attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the things a lot of guys said and noticed is that by talking slower, attraction built faster, and they held people's attention better. And you're probably like me. Your mind works really quickly. You've got a lot going on. So I think you just have to become self-correcting. Do the dollar experiment. Every time someone says what, you owe them a dollar.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe make it a penny. So that's one. So number one is you can do it because you've just shown you can. And just get in the habit. And, of course, I don't know how old you are, but I'll assume you're in your, 20s?
Yeah, I'm 26.
So you've got 26 years, or let's just say 20 years, of talking quickly, and so it's going to take a while to break that habit. But once you do, and once you slow down that speed and realize you're not losing anyone, go out and do the experiment of talking as slow as possible,
right.
Because when you're talking as slow as possible, it's probably actually just normal speed. That's number one. Number two is what Mr. O always told me, what you can't fix, you feature. So you sort of have an accent. One, you create a sort of persona that goes with that accent. There was a great guy, he was known as the devil himself. And like you, he had the guts to approach anyone. He could approach a 12-step. He could approach anybody. And he was an Indian guy. And he sort of like would actually go out in like a robe in sort of traditional dress. And he learned a little bit of magic. And he would say he was from a great family of mystics and gurus. and would show them some of the things that he knew. And he stood out from all the other guys there because, A, he looked different. And B, he backed up looking different with things that no one else could do, like the way Zan talked about the guy he met in South Africa, the Peruvian guy.
Right.
You know, you could be that guy, and you don't even have to worry about your accent or correct your accent.
Mm. Yeah. Actually, I had thought of doing that, but then I thought maybe that would become too stereotypical of Indian guys, so I backed out, but I'll try it.
Cool. And Zan, did you have any thoughts?
Your answer is brilliant. I really like what you said, and you're absolutely spot on. I have nothing to add to that at all.
Hey, Zan, you went all quiet again.
What's that?
You went all quiet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to let you know that your answer was brilliant, and I have nothing to add to it. It's exact, spot-on advice, and it's cadence. Slow down your voice. It's fantastic. No, I have nothing to add to that. It's a brilliant answer.
Thanks, Ben, and thanks, Carl. And hey, what's wrong with being stereotypical Indian if it's a great thing?
Yeah.
you know, you owe me a dollar for saying that.
Maybe Tyler, I'll go outside and say, hey, I'm Apu from Simpsons.
you might owe me another dollar there.
Right.
Because I'm sure that, you know, that my stereotypical Indian guy I know is a guy named Pandit Pranath, who's
uh-huh.
probably one of the most amazing people I've ever met, who, you know, could just sit down and bowl you over with his force of presence.
Right.
So,
awesome.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So thanks to the caller who chose not to ask two questions. We do have time for one more question.
Okay, we have Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Jay.
Before I give you my question, I just wanted to say to the last caller that I had the same issue. I'm Spanish with the accent. And you know what? I just stopped worrying about it. I just thought, well, if Antonio Banderas can do it, me too. So I just, you know, then when I didn't worry about it, people even started giving me compliments about how nice my accent was and everything, so I just don't worry about it anymore. Well, this is more like a troubleshooting question on damage control. I'll be real quick. It's funny because this happened like 2 days ago, and yesterday I was just listening to one of Neil's old teleconferences in which he said that the only thing you need to do if a girl is attracted to you is not to mess up. Well, I messed up. I met this girl at a club 2 months ago, and we had this really great conversation, and I didn't see her again. 2 days ago, we saw each other at the same place. She recognized me. She was, like, really excited to see me. She hugged me, and she just wouldn't let me go. So we started flirting. She started saying how she remembered how old I was, and she was like, 25. I was like, nope. 21, I said 26. 26, and then she asked me if I remember hers. And I knew she was 30. I don't know what I was thinking, what was going through my mind. I was just trying to be funny. And we were just laughing. And I was just in the moment, and I said, I think it was 45, right? At that moment, but I said it in a playful manner, but at the moment, she immediately let go of my hands, and she told me, like, you never tell that to a woman, right? And then at that moment, some girl with her boyfriend came to say hi to me, and then the other girl said, well, I'll be right back, and she left. Some dude just had isolated her. He took it outside, and she spent the rest of the night just talking to the other guy. Even though I knew where she was, I didn't go after her. I just stayed inside, you know, trying to have fun and everything, even though I was really bothered by the situation because I really liked this girl. So before I left, I went to where she was seated. I said goodbye, gave her a hug, like nothing happened, and we talked about being there on Sunday night, which is tonight. Now I feel kind of weird about it. I don't know what to do or what to say or what to convey when I see her tonight, you know.
Interesting. So you're saying then that you felt like you messed up by saying that, and she dropped your hand and became cold because you said, you know, I'm guessing you're 45. You said it as a joke, right?
Right. I said it as a joke. And to be honest with you, I had this AFC way of thinking. I was going to apologize, but I didn't because I didn't have any reason to apologize because I, you know, it was a joke. But I guess, you know, she felt kind of weird when I said it, maybe because she was kind of older than me, and maybe she took it like I was making fun of her age, which I wasn't. But then this girl came and interrupted me, and then she kind of left. So when I say goodbye to her,
to resurrect it, yeah. She, I mean, like, that's a sensitive issue, obviously, with a girl who's older than you. And so the joke might have been misplaced.
Right.
Said that. You can't beat yourself up too much about it. And
right.
And the way I would proceed with this girl is if nothing happened whatsoever, and if she brings it up, you downplay it like you don't even remember it. It's like it's a non-issue, and, you know, she's
exactly.
worked up about nothing. And you are just, you know, and just carry on.
Right. So just do it like nothing happened and just, you know, just roll my usual game.
Yeah, and if she brings it up and says, well, you said something that was hurtful, then you say, you know, I didn't mean to. I was like, I was making a joke. And anyway, let's talk about something else.
Oh, okay. Great.
You know?
Oh, thank you very much.
Great.
Nice meeting you guys.
Thank you, meeting you, man. Can we take one more caller in, Sarah?
Okay.
Even though we're 50 minutes over?
Of course. We have Elliot. Go ahead, Elliot.
Okay, hey, Elliot, you're the bonus round.
Hi, Elliot.
This is the last question of the Zan teleconference.
I greatly appreciate it.
The great notion and idea leaves everybody just thinking and changing their game.
That's right.
This is going to be the moment, the culmination of the last 2 hours and 16 minutes. So
this is my latest sticking point.
I met two girls lately that I really like. They're both 10s, and I actually had a lot in common with them. And I've basically relapsed into being an ASC, and I get negative self-talk, and I end up screwing it up. Like, they both had a lot of attraction to me. And then I started being needy and demonstrating lower value and falling back into all those old tendencies I had. So one of those girls I don't think I'm at endgame with. Like, she was really interested in me. I asked her out. She wanted to do it, but she was at work, so she told me to just send her an email. And I did, but I described this elaborate date, and it was way too intense. So I kind of scared her off, but I'm probably going to see her again, like, at the clubs in a week or so. And I was just wondering how I should get out of those tendencies, because I know, like, it seems to me like you know a lot about inner game and that sort of stuff, and how I should kind of reframe it and handle it.
It's crazy, by the way. It's so interesting watching Mystery's Pickup Artist show, that one mistake, you make one mistake, and that's it. You know, you watch the guys in the bar, the girl's ready to make out with them, and they go into, like, asking about MySpace, and all of a sudden she's gone on to the next guy. You know, one little thing, and obviously here your one little thing was trying too hard. It wasn't that the date was too elaborate and you scared her, it was like you just showed her that you were trying too hard.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Zan.
So in other words, how can you change the perception you have that you're doing well and you feel like you screwed it up somehow, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, like,
he didn't return the email,
I really reinvented myself, but I relapsed into this old person I used to be in high school around her, and, like, it was incongruent, and it changed the vibe. So I'm wondering if I should just, like, reassume my new frame with her and try and go from there, like, just how I should handle it.
You just have to recover. I mean, like, all of life is a series of brilliant moments with a bunch of recovery all around it. Just recover and don't concern yourself too much. Go back to being the guy you said she was very attracted to. Go back to being that same persona, and don't second guess, you know, the little drift you had, and just carry on. Like,
I feel like here's a right, and if you wanted to win that back, I mean, just, you know, ignore the email, pretend like it never happened. Be that
exactly.
Better see you with other women, and you know, don't even try to recover. Just be your new best self.
Yeah,
but I think that then to put the point on it, and maybe the brilliant idea to end with, which your question inspired, is to go back to the most important thing I learned from Zan, and that what you can learn as well from Zan, what would have prevented this situation from happening, is let's discuss your philosophy as our closer of it's always on.
Exactly right. I mean, like, that's the assumption that we talk about. I always say that, you know, we create our own assumptions about what that girl's feeling or her reaction to the thing we just said, or, you know, how she's interacting with us. And assumptions belong to us, have nothing to do with her at all. We invent them. So
I totally did that.
Yeah, and so to create a new set of assumptions that it's always on, that she's completely into you, is just as valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a valid assumption. So that's the notion of moving through life, believing that every girl wants you, every girl is attracted to you. It shifts you physically into more along those lines.
Yeah,
self fulfills.
Awesome. Well, thank you for this really refreshing perspective, Zan, and like this new perspective on self talk. And thank you for fitting me in style and laying all this like infrastructure for me to grow and learn.
Thanks, man. Great thoughts and good questions and good luck with those girls, and I respect that you're there. And we all have that problem, man.
Yeah.
I deal with it all the time. I mean, I call it AFC reversion syndrome. but it's like you sat back, and it's so easy to do those habits because those old habits were just common sense to you.
Yeah.
And now you're learning sort of uncommon sense.
Yeah, and the thing, and I have a lot of respect for the guys that are on this call, because you set yourself apart from 98% of the men out there, where we all have the same problems and the same struggle, and we all have the phrase, there's this girl, what do I do about it? But you guys are taking steps to try and understand yourselves more, and most guys won't do that. So just the fact that the guys are on this call means that they're already more aware and more advanced in their journey. It's heartening, to be honest.
Great. And thank you, caller. And what was your name again, by the way?
Elliot.
Right. Thanks, Elliot. Yeah. And just for and just to wrap things up, then would you let them know kind of where you can be found online and anything else you kind of want to
More. My website is enlightenedseduction.com, and we're in the process of changing it to zanperion.com. That's zanperion.com. And there's lots of things in the works. I'm creating lots of new things and making new DVDs. So there's lots going on. And that's how you find me on the web, and I'm contactable through there as well.
All right, cool, man. Thanks for doing this, and hang on, I'm calling you. I'll hop into the post conference, and come by. Let's get some breakfast or lunch.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, guys, and we'll see you soon. We'll try and get this recording available for you as soon as possible. And again, man, I'm continually amazed by the growth in the students and the attitude of the students,
mm-hmm.
and it's really a pleasure doing this stuff. Thanks, guys.
Gentlemen, this officially ends the call. Have a wonderful day.
StyleLife.com presents